You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So, Child Poverty Action Group has published a series of papers named Aotearoa, the Land of the Long, Wide, Bare Cupboard. Now, that's a startling title for a series of papers, and it really challenges, I think, the way that we like to look at ourselves in Aotearoa as being a land of plenty where everyone is provided for and has enough. What is the reality for a lot of New Zealanders?
The reality for many New Zealanders is that they are malnourished, and it's not a choice. It's to do with being able to afford the food that they need and also to have access to that food.
And what are the barriers that are really standing in the way of many New Zealanders in getting access to the nutritional needs?
From a family point of view, it's having enough money, particularly after housing costs. And housing has to come first because as human beings we need shelter. But then after that, the next thing we need is food and water, essential for life. And it's not just any food. Our ministry puts out guidelines about fruit and veggies, whole grains, good sources of protein and dairy. But the policies in New Zealand do not allow everyone to have access to those foods. The cheap foods are the not-so-healthy foods, things like sugary drinks or breakfast cereals that bear little resemblance to the grains that they came from, etc., are cheaper, but not necessarily got the nutrients that we need, particularly for children who are growing. And unless you get that growing stage right from conception, they're never going to be able to reach their full potential.
So at a policy level, what does Child Poverty Action Group see as needing to change in order to increase the level of access that people have to healthy nutritional foods that promote healthy growth in young people?
Well, first of all, it needs to raise the benefit so that there is enough money to be able to buy the foods. So that's from a family point of view, and acutely that's what needs to be done, because every day of a child's life is important. You can't not be fed 2 days of the week. It will have long-term effects. But in the intermediate term, and we have a wonderful opportunity in Aotearoa, New Zealand now, to have a reform of the food system, and particularly around food policies. The government is there to look after people and doing a good job of certain aspects, but not of food. We have so many ministries that look after different aspects of food, including, you know, tourism, hospitality. The Ministry of Health puts out guidelines for what we should be eating. The Ministry of Primary Industries helps look after food safety aspects, but just because food is safe doesn't mean that it's actually good for you.
Just riffing off the top of my head, it's perhaps because industries like tourism and hospitality, there are clear indications that they are profitable, whereas I guess food is profitable for distributors and producers, but we don't necessarily look at outputs that come from people overall eating healthier diet.
That's right. In fact, we do export very good quality, high quality food, but we import very poor quality food. We import equivalent of 300 grams of sugar per person per day. We import equivalent of 300 grams of wheat per person per day. Why are we importing wheat? Is it to feed animals? Is it to make flour? Why can't we be our own self-sufficient country, feed our own, particularly our vulnerable, first, before we export? Because there is no trickle-down effect that has been happening from the good export industry of food. It just does not seem to get to the grassroots. And it particularly affects some people more than others. It's socioeconomic, but it also is divided by ethnicity, and Maori and Pacific tend to be worse off.
It's interesting hearing you talk about the import to export ratio. And also, I have had time to look over some statistics about how agricultural land use is divided. And it's really interesting seeing what percentage of land is dedicated to growing things like vegetables and grains versus what is committed to high intensive farming of dairy and meat products, which can fetch a high price on export markets. It seems that the priorities of the food sector are potentially slanted in one direction.
Yes, and I think that's why we actually need an agreed overarching policy and possibly a Ministry of Food and Water, because water is one of our really important assets, and as we know, it's not always easy to get it to everyone, including those in Auckland, yet it's essential for life. And we do import bottled water, which is amazing.
Baffling.
As well as exporting some. But if we had an overall New Zealanders first policy for our food and then export, I believe that the farming community, the agriculture, horticulture, all those ministries would come together. Farmers have been giving a huge amount of meat to the food banks, which is absolutely fantastic, and long may that continue, because it is a very important part of our diet, is high quality protein. But really it should be that every family is self-sufficient as far as being able to get the food that they need, not that they want, but they actually need, and that New Zealand is self-sufficient as well as far as food goes, because there could be more crises. And what are we going to do about looking after ourselves first? Because we can't look after the rest of the world with food unless we have got ourselves healthy too. And that's the principle of first aid.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're safe before you go into rescue. And I think we need to focus on that, of spreading it out more equitably so that all the people in New Zealand are able to be well fed.
Speaking of crises, we've just seen the COVID-19 pandemic. Has that affected the way that families have been able to access food, and particularly healthy food?
You hear food banks have increased more than 400% in demand. There are people who are going without food because they don't have the same amount of income. They're unsure. There's not a supermarket in every place. As I say, it's access as well, being able to get the food at the right price. The whole distribution of food needs to be looked at as well, to make sure that it cuts down the actual food miles so that we get food that's produced closer to home. Climate change is part of that, but COVID has really been a wake-up call, and it's going to be more of a wake-up call. They say it's going to get worse. More and more people are going to be out of work, and that's going to affect how those families eat. And that will have long-term implications, both for the healthy growth of children, but also for their future risk of non-communicable diseases like diabetes and cardiovascular disease. Because poor nourishment earlier in life is associated with these diseases later in life. So we've really got to invest for the future of our people and feed them better. That's what farmers do for their animals. They know when to feed, what to give them, how to feed them, but they don't seem to pay the same respect to our children and have all these fake foods available at cheap prices, and the good foods like fruit and vegetables and good quality protein are not as easily available.
Just lastly, you said that this issue disproportionately affects Māori and Pacifica. Have you had engagement with Māori and Pacific communities about this issue and what their plan of action is to deal with this crisis, and whether or not they already have anything in
place? There are many programs in place. Particularly with Māori, there's Marae Gardening, there's huge community cooperation and getting together and looking after themselves, but it still comes down to the actual income for a family and the basics of a living wage, that families do have enough to be able to buy the essentials of life and support themselves.
I just want to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today on what is an incredibly important issue.
Right. Thanks very much for talking.
Thanks for joining me today. Really appreciate it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.